Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave picks up in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 12, ending in verse 13, where we see that the author of Hebrews is continuing to encourage weary Christians through this portion of Scripture. If you feel persecuted, distant, or weary in your walk with Jesus today, allow God's Word to minister to your heart through today's message. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 12:12 with a message entitled, The Healing Race.
Because I know there are those who say, well, there's a higher calling for pastors. I know there is. Let not many among you be preachers and teachers, because I know that. I know what James 3 says. I get all of that. I understand the implications, the heaviness of being a leader in the church. This is not to leaders in the church. This is actually to people who are weak Christians, and the writer by the Holy Spirit saying there's even weaker Christians than you, or people who are close to becoming a Christian or not becoming a Christian based on what you do. And he's saying being committed to Christ builds up the body of Christ. That's wild to me. Because sadly, sometimes Christians are the greatest stumbling blocks to Christianity. Sometimes Christians are the greatest stumbling blocks to Christianity. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm concerned with other people's walks or the lack thereof. And how you walk, or to keep it in context, how you run, has great implication on what they do that are behind you. I want those paths to be made smooth for them so that they can be healed. J.B. Phillips renders the ending of verse 13 this way. He says, so that the limping feet or foot recovers strength and does not collapse. I don't want people collapsing. I don't want people to fall completely by the wayside. I want to read to you a verse from Micah chapter 4, one of the minor prophets in Scripture, and he's speaking ahead of the time to when Jesus Christ is physically here on earth reigning and ruling. Because this is the heart of Jesus. This is what he's going to do when he's here. Listen, he's not physically here right now, is he? So in the meantime, we are his hands and we are his feet. So you've got to care about what he cares about. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're looking unto Jesus, if that's the one that your eyes are upon in the race that you are running, then you've got to care about what he cares about. And the Scriptures tell us what he's going to be like when he is ruling and reigning on the earth. And in Micah chapter 4, verse 6, it says this. In that day, says the Lord, the day that I'm here reigning and ruling, he goes like this. I will assemble him who halteth. Those who are lame, I'm going to assemble. I'm going to gather them together. I'm going to call them. I'm going to strengthen them. I'm going to breathe life into them. James Moffat, a linguist, he translates that verse, Micah 4, 6, this way. When I'm here, I'm going to collect the stragglers. Close quote. Like the people who just can't ever get on the course. They just are constantly close to the crowd stand, they get close to it, and then something stumbles them. They come up with excuses like some people do physically with actually exercising. It's rainy today, or it's kind of humid, the air's thick, I got asthma, I got sports asthma, I don't really do well, I got to first lose a few pounds, then I'll get to the track. You know those people, they're close to this, they're close to the course, but they never actually step on. This is one of the most serious messages I've preached in a long time. I know it's not really fireworky right now. I need you to hear me, what I'm saying to you. There's times where I know that God speaks to me. This is one of them. And I don't really seek to be exciting right now or anything more than what he wants to be heard right now, to be conveyed through the word. It's a word in season. He's saying this: there are people who seem to struggle constantly over off the side. They don't just get on. And I get it, the Lord says. You're struggling yourself. These are Hebrew Christians who are barely walking. He says, but it is so imperative that you get it together. I've given you everything that you need for your own good, but for the good of those who are struggling even more than you are. And I got to ask myself, is my form of Christianity hindering Christ's form of Christianity? Am I blocking them from getting to the course that is the way? Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's what Christianity was called in the beginning, the way. That's what it was. The people who are of the way because of the statement of Christ. I'm the way. Christian is a very insulting word in its origin. It was to make fun of people who followed Christ. Are you a part of the way? Are you a part of the way? Are you running the race that is called the way? Or aren't you? Because there's people that are even weaker than you that God will hold you responsible for. You understand that? So it's heavy, isn't it? It's like there's this responsibility. My pilgrimage involves others. So for me, it's super heavy. For me, that's why Bible study, the way I teach, the way I study, the way I agonize and pour myself into every jot and tittle of the verses that are in front of me, it's super heavy because I know what I give out, I'm going to have to give account to the Lord for. But do you know that what you do with your life, Christian, you're going to have to give account to the Lord for? I know you don't have to stand before the great white throne, but you have to stand before the Bema seat. And you got to give account. And only what is done, you know, by the power of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord, is what you'll be rewarded for. Everything else, the scripture says, is wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn. You don't want to stand there in that day, at that award seat, if you would. And you don't want to stand there in some form of shame. You want to be able to stand there knowing that you pleased your Savior King. So I got to start thinking a little bit more. I got to receive healing in this race for my own good. But I also got to receive healing in this race for the very people that God seeks to collect and gather and draw to himself. Because based on what I do, they're going to do or they're not going to do. And that's got to matter to me. That's got to matter to me. In the very beginning of COVID, it seemed like the church had a bigger audience. It seemed like there was much, it already feels very similar to how 9/11 was. 9/11, we didn't have to close because there wasn't a virus that was deadly to some. So our church doors, that's the difference. We got to physically feel the ramifications of a disaster to our country. I mean, right after. The event happened on a Tuesday. I'll never forget it. I was in high school. And the following night, Wednesday evening, I wasn't even walking with the Lord. I'll never forget coming into church during the first worship song, and there wasn't a seat in the house. Back of the wall, the sanctuary, up the sides of the wall, the house was packed. That only went on for like 2 weeks. As soon as things got under control in our country again, or so it seemed, it just everyone went right back to business as usual. Week one, man, we had an audience like crazy. Everybody wanted to know because there were no PPP loans yet. There were no, you know, checks given out to families yet that make less amount of money. There was nobody knew anything in the very beginning. So everybody was freaking out. And when people freak out, they look to God. Even atheists do. Ever notice that? Even atheists do. They look to God. But over the last April to May to June to July, and we're still dealing with it, over the last 4 months, I'm just noticing just this retreating, just this pulling back, this retracting. I'm just noticing. I can feel it. I can feel it. There's just sort of this ease. There's just sort of this lackadaisical, and there's no coincidence that God the Spirit has us right where he has us in his word. But I don't think it's a thing this morning that I'm supposed to try to like scare you back into. Or I don't think it's a thing this morning that I'm supposed to like misrepresent God and scream in all of your faces and tell you all these reasons. I'm just saying this. Why don't you just start to worship the Lord again and thank him for seeing you through? Let's just use current events, the pandemic. Why don't you just thank the Lord that you have your sanity still, whatever remains, after your kids being home in your house for 4 months? Seriously. Why don't you just start thanking the Lord that he didn't come back yet so that he can save more people? Everybody's saying, oh, I hope the Lord comes back. Why? You just so that you can get it. What if God wants to do something still? Why don't you start thanking the Lord that his grace abounds on this nation? Why don't you, instead of complaining about when is church going to open, why don't you thank the Lord that church is going to open? Instead of complaining about we can't have everybody in the sanctuary, why don't you thank the Lord that we have a lawn that we can place people who can't be in the sanctuary because the state mandates otherwise? Why don't you start thanking the Lord that the word of God can still go forth? Instead of constantly, oh, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio and this and that, how about this? Thank God that nobody's saying you can't say the name of Jesus. Everybody's so upset about all of these things. Listen, our church phones are ringing. My church is opening this weekend, and they're saying that we have to wear masks. And we have, no, the church isn't saying that. The governor's office is. Honor the authorities that are over you. These are base things. I'm not going to join in and talk about any other church, man. We've linked up through this thing. I thank God for my brothers that are pastoring churches in this unprecedented, difficult time. We're all doing the best we can. We're rookies. Pastor Joe and I, we've talked. I talked to him yesterday, and he continuously uses that phrase. He says, we're all rookies in this. None of us have ever been here before. Doing the best we can. Thank God. Thank God for the goodness of God. Thank God that the President of the United States says church is essential. We already knew that, but thank God that he says it and knows it. There's a lot to thank God for. You need some things. I just gave you some things. Thank God for them. Watch how it starts to humble your heart. Watch how it starts to break down your arrogant pride. And then start just talking to them. Get back to the course. Start using your hands and your knees again. That's what you got to do. You got to just get back to the course. And you know what I found in my running? Because I know you're also super interested in that. What I found in my running is that for the first couple of miles, it kills. It takes me, I don't know, I remember when I was like 18, I could run outside, I could run out the door and run right back in the door. I never stretched, and I never needed a warm up. I watched people walk into the neighborhood. What are they walking for? Everything was a run. I ran everywhere, just run, you know. Now I need like 8 minutes before I start to even run. I walk like a half a mile before I even start to run because it takes me that long. And then the first mile and a half or whatever it would be is painful. It's so mental. Running is so mental. It's so painful. Everything hurts. I've had my knee, you all know about Josiah's kidney transplants and think that's a big deal. I had my knee reconstructed. I've had arthroscopic surgery on this knee. So my knees start to ache. My form's terrible. I already know it is. So if you ever drive by and see me, I already know it's terrible. I can barely lift my legs. Everything's stiff. My shins hurt, and it's so mental. I'm going to run. But as I get running, it gets easier. Things start to loosen. Things start to just sort of oil up, grease up, if you would. And I'm able to go. And some of you got to just do that. You got to start talking to God, worshiping God, talking to God, worshiping God, talking to God. Nothing fake, nothing phony, just general right now. And watch how the Lord transforms your life. Get back to your course. Your father and your coach is calling you. Get back to your course. And then be mindful not to get off again because people are behind you watching you. Your kids, your unsaved spouse, or your carnal spouse who's not walking but is contemplating walking. They just don't want you to know that they're contemplating walking. They're looking to see how you do it. And for some of you ladies, it's actually backwards. Instead of your husband leading, it's you leading right now. And your husband's actually contemplating putting down the bottle and getting behind you and running behind you too. He just has too much pride to tell you about that. So he's just going to watch you run your race right now. And it's going to be your godliness that wins him, that caused him to get off of his sofa chair and get behind you and run the race and eventually get ahead of you and lead your family. It's all about to happen. This is how breakthrough happens. This is the healing race. This is the healing race. More than just you, more than just me. This is the healing race. God, as we close the service this morning, as we get ready to zip up our Bible cases, to shut off our apps, put away the scripture for the day. God, we need you to settle these things in our hearts. You've brought us to this portion to charge us, to exhort us, to encourage us. You've done everything that you could do without overimposing your will upon our will. God, this is on us today. We got to make a decision. We're in the valley of decision. It's just like what Elijah said to the children of Israel. Thank you for reminding me, Holy Spirit. It's just like that. The Septuagint, the language is the same thing when he speaks to the lame, the Israelites. And he says, choose today. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to serve? Is it going to be the God of Baal? The gods who sit, the prophets who sit at Jezebel's table. That's where the majority are. Or is it going to be the God of Israel? You called those indecisive, lame-footed, weary people through your prophet to decision. And Lord, it's as though the same thing's happening right now for us. You're calling believers back to their courses. Lord, when our doors are open again to the public, I believe that you want your army to come running in here on fire for you, not needing to catch fire, but already on fire. So Lord, start that right now in the hearts of your people. Put it in our hearts, God. I believe that if we purpose it, God, you'll empower it. I believe that if we purpose it, you'll empower it. I believe that if right now we stand up in our living rooms, in our family rooms, in our den, in this sanctuary, I believe, God, that if we say, God, I purpose it, that's all I got, Lord. All I got is my own purpose, my own will. That's all I got. That's all you gave me free reign and rule of. I think if we give you our will, if we purpose it, you'll empower it. I believe that you'll breathe life into it. I believe that you'll give us the will to do and to perform and to execute and to be strong. So God, I pray that right now. I pray right now for those, Lord, whose hands are hanging down, who have feeble knees. God, I pray right now that they would just say, God, I purpose it. God, I purpose it. My purpose is pathetic apart from your power. But God, if you breathe that dunamis type power upon me, God, I'll get back to my course and I'll run the race. Oh God, would you breathe your spirit? We're singing of revival. It starts with your bride, Lord. Would you breathe your spirit right now in your bride? As we're still scattered. We're not gathered yet. We're still scattered, Lord. But what works you've done all through history when your bride was scattered, for the better it will be when we are gathered, but while we're scattered, we pray that your spirit would be poured out upon old and upon young, upon new Christians and upon veteran Christians, God, that your spirit, the spirit of the living God, the spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, would be poured out upon your bride right now, we pray. Rochester needs revival. Ogden needs revival. Spencerport needs revival. All of the suburbs surrounding the city of Rochester, we need revival. The state of New York needs revival, God. America needs revival, Lord. Revive us, we pray. Put it in our hearts to praise you. Put it in our hearts to worship you. Lord, we're blazing a trail for people behind us. Help us to be others mindful, others cognizant. Help us to care, God. Help us to care what happens to other people who are watching us. Pour out your spirit, we pray, God. We prayed it, and now we're going to sing it. Pour out your spirit, we pray. You are the God of revival. You are the God of Finney. You're still the same. What you did through Finney all those years ago in the city of Rochester, you could do again through your people here today. We pray for revival. We pray for healing, God. We pray for restoration. Take us through the song team, if you will. Let's sing to him. Sing wherever you are. Let's worship the Lord. Let's ask him to awaken us, to awaken us, to awaken our city. Let's sing to the Lord. Know in our hearts, when we're being real with you and honest with ourselves, God, that if healing comes just financially, Lord, if just healing of our bank accounts and our 401ks, our retirements, God, our job security, Lord, of our kids being in the schools and sports starting again, Lord, if that's the only form of healing that takes place right now, God, or even just the physical healing from COVID, God, or other sicknesses, God, that's not enough. It's the healing of our souls, of our hearts, God, that needs to take place. Lord, for you to really have accomplished your purposes, Lord, in this pandemic, God, is that's what your people are coming out of. That's what's relative to us right now at the end of June of the year 2020. God, if there's going to be the healing that you wanted to accomplish, God, after you've done it in our hearts personally, Lord, then it's got to be the healing of hearts and souls. Help us to care so desperately, God. Cause it to make our hearts, our eyes weep, Lord. Let there be a breaking of us, God, in such a way that we love people. All people, God, of all skin colors and all ethnicities, Lord, and all sorts of backgrounds and sin resumes, God. Religious people and unreligious people, God, help us just to love people endlessly. It's not in us, Lord. We don't care about people in and of ourselves. We're self-consumed. We're so focused on our own weary hands that are drooping and our knees, God, that are shaking, that so many times we're not even looking at the person laying on the road next to us or behind us. God, we're asking for your spirit to be poured out on this Sunday, June 28th, God, in such a way that we can't shake, Lord, we can't shake the empathy and the compassion and the love that you want to put within us for people. And it would motivate us, God, to kick our legs higher in our run, to run that all that we have, knowing there are people coming behind us or not coming behind us because of us. It's got to matter to us today, Lord. Our form of Christianity, it has to matter. What does it look like to those who are watching and observing? It's got to matter. Because healing needs to be had in their hearts. This is the healing race. We love you, God. We want to love you more, though. We want to love you and your people that are made in your similitude. We want to love them more. Let's sing it to him one last time, just that ending chorus. Let it be the cry of our hearts. Just pour it out before him. Believing there's no prison wall that he can't break through. There's nothing he can't do. Sing it. Lead us in that song. Sing it one last time. Lead your people, God. Lead your people into this prayer. Let it be a prayer of our hearts. Really meaning it. Asking God to put in our hearts to really mean it. Really mean it.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.